change of tone now. I recently had my portrait painted. The artist was called the Painting Fool. No disrespect, because he, or rather it, is not a human being, but some computer software, designed by Maya Pantic, Michelle Valstar, and Simon Colton of London's Imperial College. And don't be misled by the word fool. In January, their invention won an award for the best demonstration of machine intelligence. Like all artists, this one begins by looking at its subject, me in this case. It uses a digital camera, its equivalent of an eye. Having captured my image, it began processing it. I've been told to smile at the camera because another piece of software in the system can use the position and movement of the facial features to read someone's mood. The computer doesn't, of course, use paint and brushes. It displays its portraits directly on a screen. While we waited for it to process the data, Simon Colton told me what was going on.
It's found the features of your face. It will pass that image to the painting software called the Painting Fool. It will also pass the details of where your eyes, nose, and mouth are, so the Painting Fool can pay them special attention. And it will also pass a keyword, one of six keywords describing your emotion. In this case, it will pass a keyword, happiness. And that keyword will be used within the Painting Fool to choose various settings for its painting. It will choose to paint you in very bright colors. It will choose a very fun painting style, quite slapdash, with lots of tapering. And it will paint your eyes, nose, and mouth with extra special detail with a kind of randomized painting style, all because of the emotion that you showed. If you'd have showed a disgusted or a fearful emotion, it would have chosen different painting styles.
Well, things have started appearing now on the screen. It gives the impression of being actually a sort of a canvas that's being painted on.
That's right. I had to simulate both what the paints look like when you put them onto the canvas and how a human might actually choose to paint those strokes. So at the moment, it's simulating how a painter might kind of taper off at the end of a stroke to produce a nice jagged effect on the end.
Is it being creative in the same way that a human being would be creative, or is there something different going on here?
My criteria in particular are it needs to show skill, appreciation, and imagination. So the software we see performing here is quite clearly skillful.
It's not skill, yeah, no doubt about that.
It has appreciation, so it paints someone differently how they express their emotion. So we've not ticked the final box yet of imagination. So I'm working on that. And wherever I take this software, people have got their own opinions about whether it's creative or not.
The end product, which is close to emerging on the screen, if I took that out, framed it, and put it on the wall at home, I mean, no one would have any difficulty saying that is an artwork. Whether they would be able to guess that it had not been created directly by a human but by a machine, I have no idea. But certainly I've seen plenty of stuff on the walls at the Royal Academy's summer exhibition which doesn't match up to that. So clearly you would fool quite a few people.
Certainly, but there are all sorts of premiums that people pay for artwork, and fair enough to them. Only one criteria is whether it looks good. And I think our stuff does look good. People are interested in it. All the other criteria go against computers. Well, some of them do anyway. First of all, they want blood, sweat and tears from humans, so they will pay a premium for that. Secondly, they want, and this is a bit of a vicious circle, they want creativity in the person producing it. And if they don't think the software can be creative to start with, that says that the output is no good. And if the output is no good, it can't be creative, and we're into a cyclic argument. So while I think we're producing beautiful pieces of artwork, I can appreciate that the art world isn't keen yet.
But what's your longer, wider intention here?
With particular emphasis on the artwork, I have a friend who's a painter. He charges £500 minimum for his portraits, and he's on the low end. I'd like to bring great design to the masses without them having to pay a fortune for it.
Not so foolish at all, this painter. If you want to see what Dr. Simon Colton's Painting Fool made of me, take a look at the Leading Edge website. I think it's rather good. Roger, great fun this, but not actually the first foray into computer art, is it?
Well, I've certainly come across a project that sort of rumbled on for about 30 years. A chap called Harold Cohen, who is a British abstract painter, went to California in the early 70s and set up a good old-fashioned artificial intelligence system to try to emulate his painting style. And over the years, I mean, I think the last time I talked to Harold Cohen about Aeron, which is what he calls his program, he reckoned that Aeron had actually adopted its own style by then. That was about 10 years ago. I've got to admit, I'm a complete Philistine yob, but I thought they were pretty good. I'd have them hanging around, hanging up in my, you know, living room with the mini pterosaurs flitting around them, definitely.
Yeah, that's a wonderful image you're conjuring up. Machine intelligence, of course, is mostly about trying to get machines to behave like humans, to imitate humans. But can we learn anything from work of this kind about ourselves? In other words, the other way around.
I think we can. There's certainly the view that artists over tens of thousands of years have unwittingly carried out a program of neuroscience research, because you can imagine a painter's ability to extract the essential features of an image and discard all the redundant information is the same sort of thing that our visual system evolved to make sense of the world. And we've got cells in the retina and the brain that detect boundaries, and similarly artists know just where to put a line to get over the sense of what a person looks like. So there's a lot of interest there in what artists are doing, how they're extracting information about the world to see whether our brains, to give insights into how our brains do this very important trick.
Roger, thanks. Roger Highfield of The Telegraph. I'm off to Boston, Massachusetts for the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. So, in next week's programme, some of the issues preoccupying them stateside.
Leading Edge was presented by Jeff Watts and produced by Adrian Washburn.